Tonight on the Sword of the Spirit podcast, I'll be joined by Brother Matt Powell to talk about his upcoming documentary, Exposing the Hebrew Roots Movement. I can't wait for the show. It starts in 60 seconds. A lot of people, and Matt Powell has decided to fight back through this documentary he's put together. I'll be talking to him about that and more tonight on the 19th edition of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Welcome everyone to the show. This is Benjamin Naim here with you all, known as Ben the Baptist, for another episode of the podcast available on Stitcher and also Apple Podcasts. Just use the keyword Ben the Baptist if you want to subscribe using one of those two platforms. It's great to be here with a friend of mine. At least I consider him to be a friend. We'll see if he says the same thing. Just kidding. But Matt Powell, it's awesome to get this chance to catch up with you. It's been a few months now. I think the last time we had an extended conversation was actually at your wedding, which I really do appreciate you giving me the chance to go there, and thanks for the invite for sure. But how you been?
I've been great, Brother Ben. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I certainly can't complain. And obviously, things going well here in Jacksonville as we continue to roll along after what was a tumultuous 2019. There's no doubt about that. But you made a big move for yourself there, Brother Matt, moving from Michigan and then heading down to Arizona after marrying a woman from Faithful Word Baptist Church. Before we get into the documentary, I wanted to ask you a little about how things have gone for you. What's it like? How is life like over there at Faithful Word Baptist Church, of course, led by Pastor Stephen Anderson?
It's great. I highly recommend the church to everybody that's in the area. Even those who are like an hour away, I'd recommend coming to Faithful Word Baptist. It's just a great place to grow in your faith and to get to know the Lord at a deeper level. And the preaching of Pastor Anderson has been really a blessing for my life and just for marriage, starting out being married to my wife, Frances. It's been a blessing to have good preaching on marriage. And so it's just been great, brother. It's just been great being a Faithful Word. I just recommend the church to everybody. And the missions conference is coming up in January. So if people can make it out, I highly recommend it. Are you coming out, brother, for that?
I don't think I'm going to make that one, unfortunately. I had to pick between that and a mission trip next year, and I really, really want to go on the mission trip to the Bahamas, so I'm going to have to skip it. But I did go to the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. I've gone to many conferences before. I would have loved to be able to make that one, but I just don't think I'm going to have the ability to take time off work. I'll see if I can convince some other people from Steadfast Jacksonville to make it out, though, as a consolation prize for you, Matt. I wanted to ask Matt about what it's like, in terms of, has there been an adjustment period for you, is what I'm trying to articulate here, moving from that church in Michigan to Faithful Word Baptist Church, or has it just fit like a glove immediately, or have there been some things that have taken some time to get used to? Was there that adjustment period for you moving to Tempe, Arizona?
Well, I would say that the only adjustment was the weather. The weather was pretty tough, but obviously that church that I went to back in Michigan, Bethany Bible Baptist Church, it was a great church. Obviously, they were old IFB, and pastor was a great, great guy, and good hard preaching. But the stepping into Faithful Word was definitely one step higher as far as the preaching level and just the intensity. Because a lot of times in the old IFB, and I'm not trying to be down on any particular one of them, but they don't always say what needs to be said on the wrong, on the things that are going on that are bad in our society. And so whenever they don't cover the topics that are controversial, The people that are controversial, like the LGBTQ, as they call it, or whatever, those people will start rising up if there's no opposition to them. And so that's why I love Pastor Anderson's church, is because he just comes right out and says, hey, these people are reprobate. And he'll speak on the more controversial issues in America. And I would say that's been a big adjustment for me personally, just being there in person, being able to see that.
Yeah, definitely takes your Christian life to a whole nother gear when you're at a church that's on fire for God in the way that Faithful Word Baptist Church has been for over a decade. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show now. No more small talk. Let's get right into it here. Laying the axe to the Hebrew roots movement. You're going to take it to these bunch of lying heretics, courtesy of this film. I can't wait to see it. There's a lot of confusion out there, mostly emanating from the internet. People who think that they're, quote, woke by believing in this stupid nonsense, this amalgamation, this nonsensical amalgamation of the Old Covenant and New Covenant, which just boggles my mind that people would fall for this garbage. But Matt, talk about your documentary. Give us the official name of the documentary and the release date.
Sure thing, Brother Ben. Well, the release date is this Thursday at 6 o'clock, and the name of the film is actually, we condensed it down to the Sacred Name, because there's a movement known within the Hebrew roots as the Sacred Names Movement, and they're big on attacking the name of Jesus. They say to make fun of the name of Jesus. They say that you have to renounce the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. And so all throughout the documentary, we just show time and time and time again that these people, their final authority is not the Bible. And the Hebrew Roots movement, they try to make it out like the Bible is their final authority, and they believe in going back to something that's original. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of the guys that we interviewed just admitted on camera that they don't actually believe that we have a Bible that we can really reference. And so they'll make fun of the saying sola scriptura, and which is what we believe, and that's also what any Bible-believing Christian believes, is that the Bible is the final authority and not the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever. And so these people, they come along and they say, hey, you know, we don't have a preserved word of God, and so everything's speculation, and we think the New Testament was written in Hebrew and that the name of Jesus is pagan. But it becomes obvious through the film. Anybody that puts in that film and watches it, that's a part of that movement, will be absolutely shocked, especially those who are just getting into it, at the truth behind the name of Christ, where the name of Christ originated from, and the Greek New Testament, and just the fundamentals of the faith that these people miss out on. So it's going to be a film that will keep people glued from start to finish. The reason that we put off the release date is obviously because we wanted to add one more scene in there. And so, you know, I really want to make sure that this makes a strong impact and that these people at the end will be compelled to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's what it's all about. The hope that people who've been deceived into believing this get saved as a result of the documentary. And I want to make myself clear. I hate every false way, but I love, and I've said this many times before, I'm going to repeat it one more time for the sake of the hearer who maybe isn't used to this podcast or never heard it before. I love the deceived. I hate the deceivers, okay? I love the deceived. I want people who believe in the Hebrew roots to be saved. And look, we all believed a bunch of lying, false doctrine before we got saved. There's no doubt about that. And you know what? You're never going to have everything perfect. There are going to be things you don't understand about the Word of God. But my point is, I want people who've been beguiled into this false religion, because that's what it is, to be saved, and I love them, but I hate the people who would deceive them, the false prophets, spiritual predators who hate the Lord Jesus Christ and hate the gospel and can't understand the Word of God. And on top of that, Brother Matt, they call the name of Jesus a curse. The Bible says that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and yet they blaspheme and attack the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more fundamental when it comes to the Christian faith than the name of the Messiah, and even that is under attack today in the midst of the falling away, which is what I think we're in the middle of right now. In the midst of the falling away here, even the name of Jesus is attacked by some people. the Hebrew Roots crowd, claiming that it's pagan, as you said. And that's one of the most frustrating aspects about their false doctrine. I want to ask you this question. What do you hate the most about the Hebrew Roots movement? Is it the attack on Jesus? Is it the attack on once saved, always saved, salvation by grace through faith alone, the gospel of Jesus Christ? You have these morons coming out and saying salvation isn't a present tense possession. Eternal life is not a present tense possession. They teach things like you have to be physically circumcised to be saved and keep the old covenant, which was done away with in Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 9. Have they not read the whole book of Hebrews, by the way, which is an excellent commentary on the Old Testament? But Matt, when you look at all their false doctrines, when you look at all the lies that they preach, a lot of it on the internet, a lot of people on YouTube believe in this stuff. What do you hate the most about it?
I would say the number one thing that I hate the most about their movement and just the stuff that they teach would be their teachings on the gospel. They come along, especially guys like this Steve Berkson dude, and he comes along and just says, well, I hate to break it to you guys, and I think y'all are going to be upset with me for saying this, but none of you are saved. And I'm just thinking, wow, how can people eat this up? But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So it shouldn't surprise us that certain people are just so easily deceived. You know, the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And so this idea that we have not been saved is the most ridiculous idea that I've ever heard. And people believe it, brother. People in this movement actually believe it. And you know, obviously that goes directly against the scripture. You know, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So we are saved. It doesn't say that we're not saved or that we have yet to be saved. You know, when the woman touched the hem of Christ's garment, you know, and Christ looked at her and said, woman, be of good daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't say, you know, woman, be of good comfort. You've been made partially whole. You know,
amen. Yeah.
And for people like Steve Berkson, you know, how could you say, well, be of good comfort? Nobody is saved. You know, there's no way you could be of good comfort in that situation. And so Steve Berkson and these people, especially like Michael Rood, these televangelist guys that come on TV, you know, they say your believing action is the salvation of your souls. You know, just hang in there. And they try and mix faith and works and make it look like faith is works. And so I would say their doctrines of salvation are what angers me the most. And that's what we expose the most in the film. And at the end of the film, it becomes very obvious that salvation is by faith alone. And that even in the Old Testament, they were saved by faith in Christ.
Absolutely right. And the proof of that, I mean, the Bible does tell us, and for this cause, talking about Jesus Christ, that he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Old Testament, New Testament, salvation has always been by faith. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That blood applied to those who called on God for salvation even before the death, burial, and resurrection. But of course, they're not going to understand that. And when it comes to salvation not being something you can attain right now, the second you believe, that part is just, you have to wonder, are we dealing with people here, Matt, at the end of the day, who just, it's a completely different religion. They just believe in a completely different religion. It's a completely different God, because even a cursory reading of the text tells you that saved has a D at the end. I mean, Titus chapter 3, what it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved with a D, us. Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have to live in an alternate reality to sit there and pretend that you can't be saved, or I guess just reading a false Bible version, which I understand they screw up the passage that you quoted there out of 1 Corinthians, Brother Matt, but I think they're just believing in it. It's a completely separate God.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Bible even goes on to say that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So that shows that their Lord is Satan. The Lord, their Lord has blinded their minds. And not only that, But, you know, the Bible says over and over, it's not just one or two places. The Bible repeatedly says, like, for example, the Bible says that we're saved. I can't remember what book it's in, but the Bible says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. In them that are saved. It doesn't say that are being saved. And so, you know, just over and over and over again, the Bible says that we have been saved, we are saved, and the Bible never once says that we are being saved. Right. You know, it doesn't exist in the Bible. And it doesn't exist in the Greek either. These guys want to make it out like the Greek is their final authority. Well, even if that were the case, they would still have to face the fact that the Greek says that we are saved. So either way, it's not going to go their way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even one of the guys, brother, like this guy that we interviewed, me and brother Corbin Brock, we sat down and interviewed one of the guys from the Sacred Names movement. And this guy, he would not give me a straight answer. I had to ask him like four or five times. I'm like, hey, man, do you believe you have to renounce Jesus' name to be saved? Well, you know, and he just would go off on a tangent and well, this, well, that. And then finally I said, look, I said, I want to know if I have to renounce the name of Jesus to be saved. And he says, I don't use the name Jesus. He's like, and if I ever use the name Jesus, he says, I call him white Jesus, which is blasphemous.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, mocking the name of Christ. These people don't even say you have to renounce it. They say you have to mock it. And so these people are just as ignorant as the people who mocked Jesus on the cross and said, well, he saved others, himself he cannot save. You know, they're just as ignorant as these people.
Absolutely right. And the scripture you quoted there out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 just, again, spells it out for you real clear. Saved, it's something that happens immediately, and it's something that is a done deal. It's not a process. But you know what? At the end of the day, these are people who hate the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's why they've created another God, and they've called him Yeshua. Now, I was never a hardcore Hebrew roots person. However, before I got saved, it was something that was taught to me by someone, and it was something I was very, very close to slipping into and believing. Another aspect of their little cult there, Matt, is they also hate Christmas. Isn't that right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they hate Christmas. They hate anything to do with the birth of Christ. And they try to say, well, we believe in the Passover. But they miss the fact that the Passover was given to show them that redemption happens one time. They only had to apply the blood to the doorpost one time during the Passover. You know, that shows that we have to have the blood applied once. And once we're saved, we're always saved. You know, they only crossed through the Red Sea one time during that time. You know, they only had to, it's amazing. They only had to look to the serpent on the pole one time. You know, and Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So just, it's crystal clear time and time again that, you know, as Jesus was lifted, or as the serpent was lifted up, we should look to Christ. He says, look unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And so, you know, salvation is as simple as looking. And one of the guys from the Hebrew Roots movement that I used to be pretty close to, he sent me an email about a month ago saying, hey, I'm just disgusted by your film and this road that you've gone down, you know, leaving the Hebrew Roots and embracing fundamentalism. And he said, you know, you need to understand that the gospel is complicated. And I'm just thinking, wow, that goes directly against what the Bible says. The Bible says, beware lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So if somebody's going to say the gospel's complicated, they're not saved. You know, the Bible says the gospel is simple. The Bible simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says it's whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. So just over and over again. And so for people to say that it's not simple, it just shows that it's the carnal mind that we're dealing with. And, you know, with regards to the carnal mind, sometimes we just have to go and use nothing but scripture and focus on salvation a lot. You know, and it's tough because I'm trying not to remake Eternal or Not. you know, but in a way, I guess you could say that this is almost a remake because we're dealing, like, with half the movie is literally dealing with their view on salvation in the name of Christ. So it's a very serious, very deep topic for them.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is re-crucifying Jesus over and over and over again. That's what work salvation is. That's what this mentality that says you could lose your salvation and get it back, that you have to be born again and again and again and again throughout your life, that you could lose it, get it, lose it, get it. But of course, Jesus only had to die once. This is why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9. So Christ, it says, let me see if I can quote it here. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And you look at the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 20, for example, in verse 8, it says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation their beasts drink. Moses commanded to speak unto the rock. If you want to say, oh, well, you know, these Hebrew roots heretics, oh, we exalt the Old Testament. Well, here we have a picture of salvation by faith in the Old Testament because Moses was commanded to speak unto the rock. That rock pictures Christ, and it brings forth water. Just assures if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. They don't understand the spiritual significance of these carnal truths because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know that the Holy Ghost is what guides us into all truth. So it's very frustrating. And certainly, Matt, I do agree with the direction you took for your film in the sense that you focused a lot on the salvation issues because those are the most important ones, you know, attacking the name of Jesus, attacking salvation by faith, and all the rest of it. Those are the pillars of what they believe in, and once you knock those down, I think it exposes what this Judaizing trash really is, which is just this cult group of people who I think they just want to appear as if they've unearthed some truth that no one else knows so they can appear to be more woke than everyone else. It's sort of like flat earthers. They want to claim that they know something no one else knows, that the earth is flat, which is retarded, by the way, and it just makes them look like a fool. And I think it's the same thing with the purveyors of this false religion and some of their more ardent followers. Hey, we believe something no one else believes. Guess what? Christians think that the new covenant replaced the old covenant? No, 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 no. How about this one? The old covenant still in effect. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally insane. The Bible says that that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Absolutely.
You know, and that was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, that was 2,000 years ago. I mean, they're stuck at Mount Sinai. We're at Mount Calvary. You know, they're way behind us. And they think that they've got something new. Like, and they think that they're going back to something that's original. Well, if they really want to be original, you know, they could go to Genesis 15 where God says to Noah, hey, every living thing that moveth shall be meat for you. That's what's original. Yeah. You know, what's original is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and then became men to call upon the name of the Lord all the way back in Genesis.
Right.
So if they're saying, well, we're going back to something that's original. No, they're not. They're actually, and that's their big argument. They think that the Sabbath was in creation, and in a way, the seventh day was hallowed in the creation. But they'll try and paint that across the whole Old Testament and say, well, see, since the Sabbath, they'll say that Abraham kept the Sabbath, Noah kept the Sabbath. But the problem with that is in Nehemiah chapter 9, the Bible says that the Lord had made known his holy Sabbath unto the children of Israel at Horeb or at Mount Sinai. And so if he had made it known to them then, it wouldn't have been known before that. And so for them to say, well, they knew about the Sabbath before Exodus 20, that's wrong. That's false. Nehemiah chapter 9 clearly says that the Sabbath wasn't made known until Horeb. And so these people don't have a clue of what they're talking about. And a lot of times they'll say, well, if Jesus kept the Sabbath, then I'm going to keep the Sabbath too. But the only problem with that is Jesus, on the Sabbath day, healed somebody, and he said to the Pharisees, he says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work, on the Sabbath.
Right.
And so I think the Hebrew roots crowd needs to understand that Jesus had to work on the Sabbath day. He had to do the work while we were resting. And in the Old Testament, brother, and I know you and I have talked about this story several times in time past, but I think it's appropriate just to bring it back up. You know, Paul said to speak the same things over and over is safe for the children of God. I'm paraphrasing that verse there. But, you know, the Bible just clearly says that there was a man in the Old Testament that was stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And so he was working when he was supposed to be resting. And so when we try to work our way to heaven by keeping the Torah, doing good deeds, keeping the Shabbat at the Sabbath, and doing all that stuff that doesn't apply to us anyways, just to make it to heaven and think that we're going to do better before God, that's just going to send us to hell. You know, that would send anybody to hell that would believe that, because they're actually violating the old covenant there by saying, well, I can work my way to heaven when they're supposed to be resting. And so they miss the whole point of why the Sabbath was given. The Sabbath was given to show us the rest that we have in Christ. Yeah. And that's why Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He had to do the works on the Sabbath day. And so when they say, hey, we're gonna keep the Sabbath because Jesus kept it, that's not true. Jesus did break the Sabbath. And the reason that he did was because he's Lord of the Sabbath. And it wasn't a sin for him to break the Sabbath. You know, he didn't have to keep the Sabbath because he was the Lord of it. Abraham, it wasn't a sin for him not to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath didn't even exist yet. And so it wasn't even revealed yet to them. So these people need to understand that, number one, the Sabbath is a picture of salvation. Number two, the Passover is a picture of salvation. And number three, they're denying the whole Old Testament by practicing these things and then turning around and missing the whole point of why they were given.
Physical, carnal truths that picture spiritual truths, Brother Matt. It shouldn't shock either one of us that they miss what the spiritual truths are because of the fact that they don't have the Holy Ghost. But you look at the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant, and you see that theme of physical truths fulfilled, or I should say picturing, spiritual truths. You look at the fact that in the Old Testament it was a physical nation of Israel, whereas in the New Testament, God's people are a spiritual nation. You look at the physical priesthood in the Old Testament that was hereditary, and in the New Testament, his priesthood is spiritual, and it consists of believers. You can go on and on and on. A physical circumcision in the Old Testament, whereas in the New Testament, it's a spiritual circumcision that really matters. When it comes to the Sabbath, the Bible, of course, says, and I'm sure this will be in your documentary, Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Why was it done away with? Because it was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And like you said, it pictures salvation by faith. That's why the man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day was put to death. That might seem like it was a harsh punishment, but he was working when he should have been resting. Therefore, he experienced death. Just as sure as if you work when... let me start over again here. I got tongue-tied. Just as sure as when you work when you should be resting on Christ for salvation, you'll experience the second death. But they don't see that spiritual significance there. The Bible says in Romans 9, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. The Hebrew Roots movement has stumbled at the stumbling stone that the Jews stumbled at, which is the law, thinking they could be saved by keeping the law, which Galatians 2:16 completely debunks. And the Bible says that if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There are a lot of interesting facets of this when you look at the difference between the Old Covenant and New Covenant as well, which I find to be a fascinating subject to study. When you were doing your research for this film, did you learn anything new? Were you finding yourself studying different scriptures in the Bible and learning new things as you prepare to make this documentary?
I would say that I learned a few new things. I learned about the fact that the Greek New Testament has over 6,000 manuscripts that go all the way back to right after the death of Christ. And there are zero New Testament manuscripts in Hebrew, zero. And so for a while I had thought, well, maybe there is some sort of Hebrew manuscript, you know, because they say the book of Matthew is written in Hebrew. Well, that's ridiculous because all throughout the New Testament, I mean, 22 of the New Testament books were written specifically to Greek people. You know, so I'm not going to write to people that are over in Mexico in Italian. You know, if I'm writing a letter to them, I'm going to write to Greek people in Greek. If I'm speaking to an American, it's going to be an American, you know. And so it's just so ridiculous to think that the New Testament could have in any way, shape, or form been originally written in the Hebrew language. And so one of the things that I learned is that there's actually no manuscript evidence for it whatsoever. You know, because when I left the Hebrew roots, I remember hearing people saying, oh, there's all these new findings of all these manuscripts that we've found. And the New Testament was written in Hebrew. And I obviously never believed that. But at the same time, I'm like, well, maybe there might be a manuscript or two out there that might reveal some sort of thing like that. But the truth of the matter is that there's not even one. There's not even one manuscript that is Hebrew or even based in any sort of Hebrew or Aramaic. For the New Testament, it was God's will for the New Testament to be written in Greek, and it was God's will for the name of Jesus to come from the Greek Iesus. You know, in Spanish, that's Jesus. In English, that comes over as Jesus. And so just time and time again, you know, stuff like that that I've learned as I've gone along. And then there's also been just another level of seeing how the Hebrew roots, they try to hide what they believe on the surface. They'll try to get people in by using the name of Jesus. And they'll always say, hey, let's use the name of Jesus first to get people into our movement, and then let's tell them what the real name is. You know, so, you know, they wait till they get them to the point where they can have the secret handshake and then deny the name of Jesus. It's a bait and switch. It's dishonest. And in the documentary, we cover that as well. But that was one of the things that wasn't too clear to me when I was a part of that movement years ago. And so, you know, I would say those are the two biggest things that I learned while doing a lot of research for the documentary. And I also just developed, as I was editing, a new hatred for the false prophets that are reprobates in that movement that have taken away from the Word of God. There's this guy named Monte Judah who literally looks like Santa Claus. You know, I think,
know what you're talking about.
Yeah. This guy, literally, he thinks that the book of Hebrews should not be in the Bible. You know, Michael Rood is another famous one. He thinks that John 6:4 shouldn't be in the Bible. So these guys are just coming along and trying to correct the King James translators, because obviously the 50-plus men that were fluent in several different languages each didn't know what they were talking about. We need to trust somebody that knows nothing about the Hebrew language or the Greek to tell us how it should have been translated according to them. And they try to make themselves out to be scholars. You know, they try to make themselves out to be like they're just these experts in Greek and Hebrew. But one of the guys I interviewed, a fairly well-known one, his name is Levite Khan, and he just got started on YouTube, but he's pretty well-known in the circles as far as a teacher goes. And when he showed up to Faithful Word, Pastor Anderson spoke the most basic Hebrew phrases to him. And he looked at Pastor Anderson like deer in the headlights. He had no idea what Pastor Anderson was talking about. You know, I looked at him, I said, hey, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. And he's just like, it was like a calf at a new gate. And these guys are the same guys that say, well, you can't understand the New Testament unless you understand the Hebrew. Well, you might as well. I mean, Levite Khan, you might as well, if you're listening to this, you might as well start trying to learn the Hebrew, because I guarantee you that Pastor Anderson and I know much more than you just on our own with regards to the Hebrew language. Or just about anybody who's done any real study on this subject has studied a few words. These guys don't even know a lick of any type of words in Hebrew. They know nothing of the language, and yet they're saying that we can't understand the Bible unless you understand the Hebrew. So these are the things that I've learned just about their movement and stuff like that.
Right. And they practically worship the Hebrew language, yet they can't even order a ham sandwich in Hebrew. I took a couple of Pimsleur lessons in Hebrew, and I bet you I could probably out-Hebrew them, even though I don't know it very well at all. That's how pathetic they are. And yet, oh, you need to understand the Hebrew language to know the Bible. No, you don't. It's in English in the King James, and guess what? The King James Bible is perfect because God promised to preserve his word for all generations. And by the way, when it comes to the name of Jesus, some people scoff at us taking it so seriously that they change it to Yeshua, but Yeshua will send you to hell. That's the thing people have to understand. Yeshua will send you straight to hell. And if you believe it must be Yeshua and that the name of Jesus is accursed, you will split hell wide open. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's as easy as that. And so for those who would scoff at Matt and other folks who've contributed to this documentary, taking it so seriously that the name of Jesus is under attack and being switched to Yeshua, Yashaka, whatever, obviously, they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't read what the Bible tells us in Acts 4:12. It also says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It's Jesus Christ, the name of the Messiah, not Yeshua, Yashaka, whatever. It's a made-up name. It's a false deity. It's a false god. Matt, they also teach that the dietary law is still in effect, and this one's insane. They'll get triggered if you post a picture of shrimp that you're eating on Facebook or something like that. They still believe certain foods are clean or unclean, totally disregarding the spiritual significance there that the nation of Israel had those laws in place, those carnal ordinances in place, in order for them to be separate, sanctified from the heathen nations surrounding it. And here in the New Testament, we're supposed to be separate and sanctified and not worldly. But you know what? The Bible says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. So the dietary law has been fulfilled, and it's not imposed anymore. 1 Timothy 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why, Matt, when you and I eat, we pray beforehand. So next time I see you, let's go out and get a pork chop. Let's get ourselves some shrimp at the local seafood place, and let's trigger these Hebrew roots heretics into oblivion who don't understand the new covenant.
Right. Well, it seems like they don't understand what was before Moses either, because they'll say, oh, well, that's just the New Testament where it says every creature of God is good. Okay, well, what about Genesis 15 where Noah got off the ark and God said, every living thing exactly shall be meat for you? So either way, it's not going to go their way. It's not going to go the way that they want it to go. And the reason that they keep these laws, brother, is because it makes them feel spiritual. It makes them feel like they have something that nobody else has.
But it's synthetic.
But it is synthetic. You know, it's just like a Star Trek convention. It's like a cosplay. They dress up. They wear funny outfits. You know, the Bible says, beware of them which go about in long robes. Right. And so these people that dress up in these long robes and they put on a yarmulke or a kippah or whatever, and they go and pray at the Wailing Wall to try and make themselves look so spiritual amongst men. You know, Jesus said, when you go to pray, enter into your closet. Exactly. You know, that you may be seen of your Father, which is in heaven, and not to be seen of men. These people are modern day Pharisees. And I know they might get offended and say, man, you know, why is Ben the Baptist and Matt Powell really going off on us? Like, this offends me. I think I'm going to shut this program off. Well, I would encourage you to realize, if you're in the Hebrew Roots movement, that Jesus wasn't any different than what we're saying. Exactly. Jesus didn't say anything different. In fact, Jesus said harsher things. Jesus said things that would get this video a strike and Ben's channel knocked off of YouTube.
In five seconds.
You know, folks, there's a reason why they nailed Jesus to the cross. Jesus wasn't some pot-smoking hippie like these people want to make him out to be, that just wanted to fit in with everybody. You know, he didn't just want to fit in with the Pharisees. You know, even John the Baptist said, oh, you generation of vipers. You know, so before you go and accuse us of being harsh, you know, I just want to make it clear, we're trying to be loving. We're trying to love you to the Lord. The Bible says some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And so either way, we want you to get saved if you're in the Hebrew Roots movement. And I know that there are people in that movement that don't deny the name of Jesus and that don't believe in work salvation. But if you're even a bit mixed up on these things, the Sabbath can actually lead you. Keeping the Sabbath and keeping the things of the old covenant is the gateway drug into Judaism. And that's where it leads. And we're just giving you guys a solemn warning here.
Right. That's why it's a Judaizing false doctrine. They're trying to, there's synthetic Jews running around worshiping the Hebrew language, worshiping Yeshua. What's next? The Talmud? I mean,
right.
We're going to get there. And look at this picture right now. Look at your screen. And by the way, what you were saying earlier is if they get offended, and I kind of did this goodbye motion. Look, if this is too much for you, if you can't handle what the Bible says, there's an X button in the top right-hand corner. You can just click that real quickly, and then we'll be gone. We won't keep talking. The video will end. But of course, we implore you to keep listening and certainly to check out the documentary on Thursday evening so you can see how your false religion is in total contradiction to the Word of God. And here's another thing, Matt. Look at the two of us right here. You're very white, okay? Me, on the other hand, I look like a Jew. So if anyone's going to be a Hebrew roots person, if anyone would adhere to their doctrine, you would think I'd be all for it, right? But no, I'm not, because it's lies and it's blasphemy and it's wicked and satanic. And they teach a doctrine of devils, and I hate their false doctrine. I hate their Yeshua trash. It makes me sick attacking Jesus the way that they do. It makes me want to throw up. It's wicked. It's of the devil. Wake up. We're trying to shake you out of your trance here. And if you're deceived by this, if you're beguiled by this, we just want you to be saved, and we're doing this podcast out of love for you so you can be woken up and realize that you've been lied to by people who hate you. They're spiritual predators, and they're trying to take you down to hell with them. Wake
up. That's right.
This documentary is going to do an immense amount of good in that regard. And now that you moved to Faithful Word Baptist Church, Matt, I wanted to ask you this question. I saw, and we're going to play the trailer here in a few moments to end the show, but I saw Pastor Anderson in the movie, in the trailer, getting involved a little bit. What is his role in this? Obviously, you're a member of his church now. Did he decide, hey, I'm going to help you out in some way? How has Pastor Anderson decided to get involved in this fight?
Yeah, so he basically just, he reached out after we put out Science Falsely So-Called. He said, hey, Brother Paul, he said, what's your next film? He said, you know, you should do something. And I was actually going to stop doing films at that point. I was pretty much done. But then the Lord laid it on my heart as I was talking to Pastor Anderson on the phone. I said, well, what if we did one on the Hebrew roots? Can you guys still see me okay?
Yeah.
Good grief. What if we do one on the Hebrew? It's all good, honey. Don't worry about it. I said, well.
Live radio, folks. Go ahead.
Right. I said, well, what if we did one on the Hebrew roots movement? I said, I came out of that movement about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, I was deceived into some of that wild stuff, not on the name of Jesus, but just on the basis, the basic things like the Sabbath and the kosher laws. And I just want to state, you know, people in the Hebrew roots movement think that they know so much, you know, and Brother Ben, when I was into that stuff, I thought I knew so much. I thought, man, Christians, they don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, they don't keep the Sabbath, so they're not right with God. They may be saved, but they're not right with God. Or they don't keep kosher law, so they're not right with God. And that's what I used to believe. And Pastor Anderson and I, we had talked about it, and so we started filming, and we came out in January. And one of the first scenes that we filmed in a restaurant, eating shrimp and all that good stuff, and it was kind of a unique scene. I don't know if any of that scene's going to end up in the documentary. I think maybe after the fact, we might put some of that in as a little bit of like a bonus. But Pastor Anderson and I, we just joined hands on the project. And he's been reviewing it as I go, just looking for things that we can add in and take out. And so he's been really helpful, even in the editing. I usually will edit a scene and kick it over to him and say, hey, what do you think? And he might say, well, looks good. Or he might say, this needs some work here. And, so we're at the very end now. This is, we're basically at the home run, and, we're at the last base. And I can't wait for people that are in the Hebrew roots movement to see this film. And I'm going to be interested to see if somebody in the Hebrew roots movement might actually try responding. to something as powerful as it will be.
And I'm sure Pastor Anderson has helped you out in terms of the content itself, maybe fact-checking some things and making sure that it's totally accurate.
Yes, all the time. Like the name of Jesus versus Yeshua. He said that, you know, it's just really important to uphold the name of Christ and to really nail that home. He said, nail home the Greek New Testament. Because if the Greek New Testament is a fraud and invalid, then we don't have any foundation. You know, and the Sacred Names movement doesn't believe in the Greek New Testament. They believe the Greek New Testament got it wrong. And so all of Christianity just went out the window with them. You know, they don't believe in the Bible. And I hate to say this to the Hebrew Roots movement, but they don't believe in the Bible either. Anybody who adheres to these doctrines, the Bible's not their authority. Their final authority is YouTube.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Now, let's say someone is not at all in the Hebrew Roots cult and is saved and doesn't believe anything that they adhere to whatsoever. What's your pitch to them? Why do you think someone like that should still check out your film?
Because I think, brother, it will strengthen their faith. And I don't normally say this about films that I personally put out because I don't want to make it look like I'm just out here, you know, rattling my cage and tooting my own horn or something. I want to make it clear there's a lot of people that put into this project. There was people that came out and filmed that helped me edit. And so this was a team effort on this one. And so, you know, I feel comfortable saying that it's very convincing and it's a great builder of your faith. If you're just a normal Christian, it will build your faith and it will strengthen you in the Word of God to see the truths of King Saul, men in the Old Testament that could have lost their salvation, but that were actually saved. And I find it amazing. These people in the Hebrew Roots movement, all of them, all four of these guys that we interviewed said that Saul was in hell. But the Bible clearly says that Saul is with Samuel and Samuel's with the Lord. So Saul would obviously be with the Lord. So these people have no idea what they're talking about. And at the end of the movie, I think it'll just be clear when the light shines, the darkness is gone. And the more we can shine the light of the Word of God, the more people will see the truth and the more their faith will be strengthened.
Yeah.
And so I think this film will strengthen people's faith in the Word of God.
That's right. 1 Samuel 28:19 is where you can go if you want to look it up for yourself to see that Saul, in fact, did go to heaven despite being completely backslidden, orchestrating the death of God's priests through Doeg the Edomite, and of course killing himself, etc., trying to kill David out of envy. So, yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous that they would say that, but we shouldn't expect anything less coming from these people. It's time now to play the trailer. You have this uploaded on your YouTube channel, but I'm going to go ahead and play it anyway right here on the air. Like I told you before we went on the air, Matt, you won't be able to hear anything, but of course the audience, they'll be able to hear. And so I'm going to play this now for them, the trailer for your documentary. At the conclusion of the trailer, we'll talk a little about it and then begin to wrap it up. I do really appreciate your time. And I want to send a special thank you out to everyone watching live tonight in the chat room. It's definitely been active as people discuss not just your documentary, but other things as well in there. So thank you for tuning in live. Of course, the show airs every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Let's check out the trailer for the aforementioned film and see what Brother Matt has in store for this upcoming Thursday, the release date of his newest film.
My name is Matt Powell. I was in the Hebrew Roots movement for almost 2 years, and a lot of the doctrines that they taught people, what they hid on the surface, and they wouldn't just come out and actually tell me what they believed.
My name is David Dongera, and I grew up in the Hebrew Roots movement, and thank God today I know the truth. And looking hindsight, I think that a lot of the things that I experienced and learned, I think I can be a blessing to those that are still there today.
That was a picture of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, and His blood being shed for us. And when they would take the blood and put it over the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over them, that was a picture that if you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, the death is going to pass over you, because the second death has no power on you. That was a picture of Jesus Christ.
Peter
is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, right? Jesus is the name above all names.
The name that God has exalted above every name, the Bible tells us, is Jesus. Look at what it says there in verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what name does the Bible tell us that we ought to use and that has been exalted above every name? And it's the name of Jesus Christ.
The sacred name, laying the axe to the Hebrew Roots movement. For those of you listening on the podcast, it's on the screen on the video here, the video edition of the show. Man, that is epic. That just makes me want to fly to Arizona right now and go climb that desert mountain you guys were on with you. I kind of have a goofy walk, so I'm not sure if my walk will be as epic as yours, but man, that just gets you fired up. I just want to grab my King James Bible right now and go soul winning here at 9:51 p.m. Eastern Time in Jacksonville, Florida. If that doesn't get you fired up, man, I don't know what will. Excellent trailer, Brother Matt.
Hey, man. Yeah, and we're definitely excited about seeing the impact that it's going to make on people. And, you know, I've had people in the Hebrew Roots reach out and say, oh, take it easy on us. And that just goes to show that they know that there's something coming their way. And so we're not going to take it easy. I believe that everything should be out in the open. We don't believe in taking it easy or hiding certain doctrines. We're going to do what Jesus did, and that's proclaim the truth from the housetops. You know, we don't believe in these cryptic teachings that we have to hide from everybody. We're just out in the open. And that scene of us going through the mountain, it just kind of represents, I just want people to know, it represents us just being open with the word of God. We're going to proclaim it from the housetops, from the mountaintop. And so, you know, we have nothing to hide. In the Hebrew Roots movement, they hide certain doctrines. And in the film, folks, you'll have a chance to see how they manipulate people and how they hide certain teachings from people till they get them into the cult. It's so obvious.
Right.
And it's just blatantly straightforward, and it's very dishonest what they do.
Exactly. And we don't hide anything in the new IFB movement. Pastor Anderson's sermons are all on YouTube for you to see. Pastor Shelley, all on YouTube for you to see. This podcast, it's on like four platforms for you to listen to. Yes, I think fags should be executed. I don't hold back anything. Neither does Brother Matt.
Right.
And so, you know what? If you don't like it, go someplace else. But the reality is we aren't going to trim the message. We're not going to hide anything that we believe. That's not what...
You know what I think? You know what I think is interesting is they say, well, God's laws never changed. Moses' laws never changed. But the one you just mentioned there, Leviticus 20:13, they're real quick to say, oh, well, that's done away in Christ. They're real quick to say, oh, well, the sacrifices are done away. Anything that's easy for them to do, they'll do and say, well, this still applies to us. Right. But anything that requires any actual effort, standing on the word of God, you know, telling people that these bunch of faggots should go to hell, you know, just taking a stand for what's right. You know, these guys don't want to go the hard route, you know, and I remember, you know, and I'm not going to bring my personal work life into this, but this was a job a little while ago that I got fired from for believing the truth about the Sodomites. You know, there was a Hebrew Roots guy that worked there, and this guy, he would not take the same stand at all. You know, when they asked him, hey, what do you believe? Do you believe like this young guy? Oh, no, the law has changed. And so here's the thing. That tells me where there's some point where we draw the line as to what's done away in Christ and what still applies. And when it comes to capital punishment, certain things should still apply. And, you know, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. And so there are certain things that absolutely they should be implemented in 2019 America. And I'd be all for it if it were possible. To round up all the abortion doctors and knock them out, knock out the homos. And, you know, I think it's amazing. People want to call these abortion doctors as doctor. You know, doctors are supposed to save lives. You know, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And these people that call themselves doctors that are taking lives should have their lives taken. And, you know, and if you people out there think that we're the only ones that believe this, there's over 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal and that stand on the word of God and stand on the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Exodus 21:23, and if any mischief follow, if a baby was deliberately murdered, then, that's the context, then thou shalt give life for life. So what Matt said there is biblical. Exodus 21, read it for yourself if you don't believe me. And although I'd love to rant about the wickedness of Planned Parenthood and abortion and the sodomite filth and all the rest of it, we'll be here all night if we do that. So let's begin to wrap it up. I want to ask you this, though. Matt, who's in the movie? I'm sure there might be some information you don't want to reveal, but who's in the film that you're willing to tell us?
Sure. Well, obviously, yours truly, Brother Ben, is in the film. So you're in the film, brother. And I appear in the film a bit. Pastor Anderson appears in the film quite a bit. Brother Corbin Brock is in the film. We got a new face by the name of Brother David Noguera. And what's interesting about David Noguera is I didn't know that he was in the Hebrew Roots movement when he was growing up. He grew up in the Hebrew Roots movement. And so he came onto the film with me not even knowing that he was in that movement. And when I asked him about his background, he says, well, hey, just so you're aware, I grew up in the Hebrew Roots movement. And so, you know, that just shows that the Lord has definitely got his hand on this film and that he's directing our steps. And we also have Brother Bruce Mejia. He joined he did get ordained. And then we have Pastor Kevin Sepulveda over in Australia. He joined as well. And he made some great points in the film. So I'm really excited about releasing this film with a few new faces. We got Brother Bryce Rude. And so it's actually kind of a small roster. Usually when I do films, I have a larger roster. But for this one, it's a smaller one. And it's a lot more personal. And so that's who we've got in the film. And we can't wait to release. And obviously, Brother Garrett Weiss over there in Michigan, he's also in the film. So I think I got everybody.
Nice guy, Garrett. Met him at your wedding. Pretty cool. To have him on the show sometimes. Hope to have him on the show.
Oh, and Pastor Joe Major.
Pastor Major, Joe we heard Major his voice.
Too. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Matt, will you make another movie?
I don't know, brother. I think I'll definitely take some time off after this one for a few months, but then jump right back into it in March. And who knows, maybe you and I will team up sometime.
We'll have to see. I definitely would love to do that. And certainly in the future, I think we'd be able to put something good out. But this film, again, if you would please repeat the release date for everyone.
Yeah, so it'll be this Thursday at 4 o'clock Arizona time, and that's 6 o'clock Eastern time. And so at 6 o'clock, folks, when you get home from work or wherever you're at, make sure you tune in. It's not going to be a live deal where there's going to be a side chat. I'm just going to publish it straight up and definitely watch it and enjoy the film, The Sacred Name, Laying the Axe of the Hebrew Roots Movement.
I'm a little confused. So are you not 3 hours behind?
Actually, it just switched to 2 hours, brother. So okay. We're now so 2 hours behind.
Okay, so I gave you the wrong time when I was scheduling this show with you. I said
it's,
six.
It's all good.
Sorry about that. All right, so 6 Eastern, I guess it's because you guys don't switch the time, right, for the Christmas?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, anyway, 6 Eastern time, folks, this Thursday night, make sure you watch this documentary. You won't regret it. Brother Matt, any last words? Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Any last words for the audience before I let you go?
I would say the only last words that I have are the words that Christ gave. And those words are whosoever liveth. Jesus said, and if you're in the Hebrew Roots movement, this is directed towards you, you know, obviously Christians, this is just, you know, just I'm preaching to the choir, but Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so I think it's important to understand that if you're going to celebrate the Old Testament feasts, if you're going to go back to the law of Moses and be stuck at Sinai and do all of that, I think it's important for you to understand that the reason that all those things were given were to picture Christ and the coming of Christ. And like Brother Ben mentioned earlier, the Bible says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. So a lot of times, if you're in the Hebrew Roots movement, a common argument is, well, we need to follow the shadow of Christ. Well, that might sound good to your ears, and that might tickle some people's ears theologically, but that's not what the Bible says. We don't follow the shadow of Christ. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And so we don't just follow his shadow, we're with him. Anybody who's trusted in Christ is already in heavenly places with him. And so those are my parting words to the Hebrew Roots movement. Just really want to encourage you guys not to get offended by the film. I know there are some things that would be really offensive coming from your own, coming from people in the Hebrew Roots movement. You know, there were some things that were said by one of the guys in the Hebrew Roots movement that were very offensive. And I think even some of the Hebrew Roots movement would cringe at what this guy said. And so obviously it was appropriate enough to put in the film and you'll get to see it. But I would encourage you folks, watch the film from start to finish and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, Brother Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. All right. Well, that was Brother Matt Powell. That was Brother Matt Powell from Tempe, Arizona. And it's always a pleasure to get an opportunity to speak with him. A friend of mine, for sure, and someone who is just doing some great work with those documentaries, with his YouTube channel. He's triggered the atheists. He's triggered the Hebrew Roots movement. And you know a man by his enemies. So when I look at Brother Matt's enemies, I know that he's doing something for Christ. The Bible tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it's really great to have Matt as a friend. You know, I've had a lot of really cool discussions with him. So I look forward to seeing him again sometime soon. So that's going to pretty much wrap it up for the show. I just wanted to talk about a couple of other things before I end it here. And before we wrap it up, I just want to say thank you to the chat room. We've got Guzman1611. Make sure you subscribe to his channel, Guzman1611, Shade753, Dave C., Evolution is Zombie Science. That's the person's name. They're in the chat room. Philly Chimp is in there. Sean Barnish as well. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want updates on the program, make sure you go to facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV. That's Ben the Baptist KJV, where you'll get updates on not just my YouTube channel, but this podcast as well. Follow the Facebook page. Make sure you like it, and you'll get updates on what is going on with that. I also want to invite you guys to like the new IFB on Facebook. Brother Paul has been sharing stuff for a long time now, including content I've made. And I've owed him a plug for a while. So make sure you check out his Facebook page. Just search for it on Facebook, The New IFB. Like it, and you'll get content from everyone in the New IFB movement delivered to you in a timely manner. And I want to thank Brother Paul very much for the work he's doing, helping to plug and blast out all the great content from the men and women of the New IFB movement. It really means a lot. I want to transition real quickly before closing the show to some sad news. Pastor Roger Jimenez has this message.
Hi, this is Pastor Roger Jimenez from Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. I'm making this video to let you know about a family in our church that we'd like to ask you to pray for and maybe consider helping. Luke and Angel Vincent are faithful church members here at Verity Baptist Church. They come to all three services. They're soul winners. They serve in our ministry. Miss Angel plays the flute in our orchestra. And Brother Luke leads one of our soul winning groups. And they're hoping to one day be able to even go into ministry, and Luke's in training to be a pastor one day. And Luke and Angel had a baby last week, their second baby, on Sunday, November 24th. And Titus Levinson was born with a heart defect. And after a week of being in the hospital, he went to be with the Lord today, December 1st at 7:09 a.m. And we're making this video because many of you out there know Brother Luke and Miss Angel, and we've been asking and praying for them, and want to just give you an update as to what has happened. And we also want to ask you to be in prayer for the Vincent family. And we're also asking that you would consider maybe giving to help them financially. They have a GoFundMe account set up. And of course, the medical bills are very high for all of the medical treatment that Titus received while he was alive. And there's costs associated with bearing the baby. There are, of course, Brother Luke's not been working, has not been working this week, has been in the hospital with his wife, with the baby. All of those things are a financial burden. And we would just like to ask if you feel led to, if you could help them by donating. You'll find a link in the description below to their GoFundMe account. And, you know, just please be in prayer for them. And on behalf of Brother Luke and Miss Angel, we do want to thank everyone who's been reaching out, encouraging them, and praying for them. Thank you for watching this video. God bless.
Titus Lee Vincent is the name, and I just want to send, you know, just some prayers to that family. I've never met Brother Luke or Miss Angel, at least I don't think I have, but I just want to say, you know, obviously very sorry for what's going on. It's not a fun situation, and so I'll be keeping that in prayer. And I want to invite all of you, if you're still watching the program tonight, please, if you would, just pray for them. And if you do want to donate to their GoFundMe, you heard Pastor Jimenez talking about it, and the link to donate to their GoFundMe is in the description of that video. So if you just search on YouTube, GoFundMe for baby Titus Vincent burial / financial assistance, you'll see in the description of the video their GoFundMe, which is on your screen now if you're watching on YouTube, and you see how much they've raised so far, $23,747. They're looking for $50,000. So if you would donate, I'm sure they would certainly appreciate it. And that's why I wanted to play the video, just to see if any of you out there would like to donate and to show you how you can do so. It's not a fun situation, so if you would just pray for them, that would be that'd be great. That's it for the program tonight. I'll be back again next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the broadcast. It's The Sword of the Spirit, and episode 20 will be back next Monday at 9 Eastern. This is Benjamin Naim. I'm going to sign off now, and it's always a pleasure to record this program on the YouTube channel. If you like the content and you want more, just hit the subscribe button. You can go to youtube.com/BenTheBaptist to subscribe, and you can get some more content there. Until next time, God bless you all. Make sure you check out the documentary being put together by Brother Matt Powell. It's going to do a world of good. And pray for him, and pray for that film, that it reaches people who need to be saved. I'll talk to you guys again after a while.